Hey everybody, Eduardo here. Today's episode is brought to you by Fanatics. Fanatics is the world's largest collection of official fan gear from all the leagues, teams, and players you love. If you enjoy our show and are looking to buy a new jersey, sweatshirt, or hat, you can support us by going to podgo.co/fanatics and get 25% off your next order. That's podgo.co, podgo.co/fanatics. Fanatics, officially licensed everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron. Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
But he looks...
He's the kid that plays, just for the listener's sake, he's the kid that plays Johnny Lawrence's kid. And I can't remember the actor's name.
I don't remember, or even
the character's name.
He's apparently got all kinds of, like, body image problems.
He has a very mannequin-like...
And I feel bad for him.
Oh, the actor does?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Sorry.
But I think half of them stem from whoever decided to cut his hair like that.
I feel really bad now.
Like,
sorry,
poor
kid. I didn't mean you looked like a mannequin.
Who was like, let's do your hair like this. We're going to make you look like He-Man in the first two seasons, and then we're going to make you look like a 90s-something mistake.
I want to see this.
Yeah, they have, like, these different, like, everybody else has this contemporary, like, current look to him,
yeah,
and he keeps getting these dated looks to his hairstyle.
He looked like he was from the original in the first two seasons, and this one he looks like he's from the next Karate
Kid. Do you think it's intentional?
It has to be.
Wow, this really sounds like it's going to be the best show, better than anyone we've done before or anything we can do afterward in the history of the program. You mark my words. We know there's all sorts of better ways you can be spending your time, so thanks for spending yours, albeit poorly, with us. If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know, whether it's accessing past episodes, future live broadcasts, or other shows on our network, it's all right there. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows, hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Well, gentlemen, I'm not here, but you are, so let's get it on! Without further delay, please welcome your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron.
Isn't that who it is? God damn it.
Tom Rebecca Hanks Ferguson. Rapes kids, though. He's a fucking piece of shit.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Nope, not even allegedly. Tom Cruise is a piece of shit.
Tom Hanks, you mean?
Tom Hanks, not Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is
maybe
Scientology.
Maybe a piece of shit.
He fights
magic alien ghost blood ghosts. He's
who erupted from volcanoes.
Yes. Tom Hanks is a pedophile.
So, yeah, I mean, and they don't have pictures of him doing it, but all signs kind of point to
there's
that
some
being
creepy
fucking obvious
coincidences.
Kind of yeah, yeah. Which is just hard to believe. Because he's so goddamn wholesome, or seemingly so.
I don't know.
But I don't know.
It's always the one he uses.
I've never met the guy, and controlled perception is a very real thing. I mean,
he's got some heavy weird shit.
Again, I get criticized for the things that I put out onto social media to try and make it seem like my life is fabricated. So how hard is it to believe that Tom Hanks is out there fabricating his wholesome image?
Yeah.
He collects typewriters.
Keep getting kicked in the nuts of life.
Right. What was that, Bruno?
Tom Hanks collects typewriters.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing to collect. I agree, but he collects typewriters.
But if I'm going to collect, typewriters are kind of a cool
pictures thing. Of lost gloves at places that people disappeared.
I feel like the space needed to house all these typewriters, I'm just like, ugh.
Fuck.
Well, it's
all
like,
the dusting you have to do.
Cars. All those growers.
It's like that's a very, very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Or pop figures. Like we have a lot of pop figurines, but like I look at that and I'm like, I'm running out of fucking room. And it's like, so we go to the store and my kids are like showing me all these pop figures.
I have one.
Look at this one. This one's neat, Dad.
Two.
This one's
excuse
neat. And it's
two.
Like I've hit my limit. I've gotten all the ones that I really like care about, and now I've just stopped caring.
When I see Khal Drogo and Grogu, that's it.
you're good, because my wife and my kids keep on like grabbing more and grabbing more. But like they'll try to pitch me on ideas of them, and I'm like, no, I don't want any more.
I think we should shatter Tori's perception of what to do.
Jesus, what?
I'm sorry, sweetheart. Yeah. Do a quick Google search, because yeah, Tom Hanks was very, very intimately tied to all of that Jeffrey Epstein child abduction.
Well, he used loosely to wear children on his hands like puppets. He's a horrible human being.
Yeah, it's too bad, but yeah.
Pinocchio is loosely based on that whole island is loosely based on his experiences.
You know, they're making a live action Pinocchio.
It's
out, and
it's playing in town right now. I was just checking to make sure that we had eight screens.
Weird guy.
And it's playing right now.
No, they're making one for Disney Plus, and Tom Hanks is playing Geppetto.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Awful. Allegedly. Awful.
So that's really funny.
I want to make a real boy.
Yes, he does.
I'm tired of fucking this wooden doll.
I'm tired of real dolls. I want real boys.
Anyway.
I'm a real boy.
We got to get him Jiminy Cricket with a chainsaw.
So I don't have much to offer up for the next topic, because I have not been able to
You haven't watched it yet?
No,
I thought you were watching.
I watched the first, I think, two episodes.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna say
I started work, as you know, last
Cobra
month.
Cobra Kai.
I went back to work last month, and between work and the kids and juggling my schedule, and I haven't been able to.
I'll just say there's not many shows that are much better written right now than Cobra Kai.
Oh, I believe
in terms of episodic, like one to the next, they go like
if it's anywhere close to season one.
Yeah,
so good.
It's great. The pacing is perfect. Every episode, like I don't even get tired of the kid fights. Like, I welcome it. I almost wondered at one point. I was like, I wonder if people are going to get up in arms about all this violence in the school, like all the violence, between the kids.
Yeah,
like I wondered if that was going to be a thing.
But it's like the Power end of Rangers season, level violence.
Yeah,
the end of season two is a full blown like and,
right,
fucking
the backbreaking. Riot in the school.
Can we talk about the decisions made about this kid's fucking hair, though?
Oh, like,
he goes from Johnny's bad haircut kid to bad haircut.
Yeah.
And somebody
is it worse
on
in season three?
It's
not Prince
awful
Valiant anymore.
No, they cut it up, but it still sucks.
He doesn't look like Jonathan Brandis anymore. Now he just looks kind of like a weird variation of that.
He looks
got
fucking
all, like,
stupid.
He has an uncanny valley face.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mean to like be rude to the guy or anything, but he looks.
He's the kid that played, just for the listeners' sake, he's the kid that plays Johnny Lawrence's kid, and I can't remember the actor's name.
I don't remember, or even
the character's name.
He's apparently got all kinds of like body image problems.
He has,
but
a very mannequin.
And I feel bad for him.
Oh, the actor does?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Sorry.
But I think half of them stem
really
from
bad
whoever decided to cut his hair like that.
I feel really bad now.
Like,
sorry,
poor
kid.
I
didn't mean you look like a mannequin.
Who was like, let's do your hair like this. We're going to make you look like He-Man in the first two seasons. And then we're going to make you look like a 90s something mistake.
I want to see this.
Yeah. They have like these different, like everybody else has this contemporary, like current look to him.
Yeah.
And he keeps getting these dated looks to his hairstyle.
He looked like he was from the original in the first two seasons, and this one he looks like he's from the next Karate
Do you
kid
think it's intentional?
It has to be. Somebody's making that choice for him because he's not doing it himself.
No, because I would like I'd have painted the walls with
it's
my
not
brains
his fault.
Because
yeah. I can't blame him. It's whoever decided to
whoever's like sitting him down in the chair to cut that hair, because man,
oh fucking spoilers. God damn it.
I was listening to a podcast with the editor for season two and on of Cobra Kai. And he was talking a little bit about how he got the job and how he found out about Cobra Kai and a little bit about the editing. And then I listened to his podcast where he's interviewing the producers of that show. It was pretty interesting, actually. I almost sent this to you, Ward.
Yeah, do send it to me. I'd be interested to hear about it. The fun thing that with this with Cobra Kai is Courtney Hengeler, and if she ever listens, I doubt she will. But if
she's
she ever
one of
does,
the seven people listening right now.
She's one of the only like stars that will regular like you know quasi star. She's in that echelon, I guess, enough so that that will regularly at least like our tweets. But we have to like basically shower her in praise.
I did. I screwed up and pointed out how little work she gets.
Oh yeah, yeah. She did comment on yours about like, yeah, thanks for pointing out how little work I get. But it was basically a compliment because she really needs more. Like, I'd love to see her in other stuff.
She's talented.
I think she's immensely talented.
She has very, very convincing.
And her character's the only adult on the show.
Delivery.
Oh, I know.
Maybe Martin Cove's character. I think Kreese is an adult. He's a horrible fucking
person.
He's
an adult,
but
he's grounded in this reality that's like this.
He's definitely
he's grounded in a reality. Yeah.
And Amanda
is just no nonsense. She just doesn't like
Macchio.
Yeah.
I don't what's
Ralph Macchio.
What's Dan LaRusso. Amanda LaRusso is like she's from our world and she got dropped in Karate Kid world.
Yeah.
And she's just
trying
always,
to reconcile it. Yeah.
And by the time she slaps Martin Cove's character, she's finally like joined. Like, okay, I'm in ridiculous land now.
Right.
I need to be part of it.
Right.
Oh, no. I think she's my favorite character. But Johnny Lawrence is my favorite fictional martial artist ever. He beats everybody ever. He's a fantastic sensei. And he's just...
I don't know, man.
I think he's awesome.
I always go back to in the... season one when he's talking to the kid about having asthma and he's sucking on his inhaler and he's like, I have asthma, and he just smacks it out of his hand and says, not anymore, you devil.
Not anymore.
Like, that is the most generic 80s badass thing that a person could say, and I love it. It's really, really great writing.
He's the best.
I agree with what Ward said. I would be hard pressed to think of a scripted show that is currently running that would be
it's a tight show.
Stepmom and I were talking about it the other day because she's watched more of season three than I have.
I got her to watch it,
which is really odd to me.
You should have seen her face when I told her season three was out.
We were talking about
it was awesome.
And
well, it's like my dad. He's like, it probably wouldn't be for me. And I'm like, well, if I can talk you into watching The Walking Dead, I could get you on board with Cobra Kai.
And I told her, I said, the thing that, speaking to what you said about the tight writing, yes, it is a 30-minute show instead of the full hour like you see so many things do, but they know when to get in and get out. But every single episode of that show, it seems like I watch. It's why I watched season one back when it was on YouTube in literally like a day and a half.
We burned
every
through the
episode
first
ends
season
and you're like,
in
it's
the
been
afternoon.
A half hour. What? Yeah. Like it is so spectacularly well paced.
We burned through it in that day. And then the very next day we decided we were going to watch, the Karate Kid movies. So we went and watched those,
mm-hmm.
Which if you've never done that before, they basically, they're like back to back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was fine to do because they knew that, LaRusso, or the guy that plays LaRusso,
Ralph Macchio,
Ralph Macchio never ages.
No.
Like he's finally started to age. Like there was one point where like in three, he looked like he put on like 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just like, well, he just had some extra rice while he was in China or wherever they went.
Needed the 10 pounds anyway.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. But when you watch these movies,
Mike Barnes is a bad motherfucker.
It becomes abundantly clear that Danny LaRusso sucks at karate.
Yeah.
And as a person. He does not learn. He will not learn a lesson.
No,
not one. And even in the series, he has refused to learn a lesson. And his lesson usually is, this person was bad in the past. They're always going to be bad. And that's like that. That's all, his
that's
only takeaway And that's all that's his only takeaway. He just won't learn a lesson about anything. And he refuses to learn in any of these movies. He's not good at karate.
Nope.
No.
He's lucky at karate. Every scene he wins the match is pure luck.
Yeah.
The crane kick, luck. I mean, arguably that's probably
the cleanest
of all of them, but the rest of them he lucked into.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Which just goes to further the argument that Johnny's character is a more redeemable and better character overall.
And William Zabka is so much better.
Dude, Billy Zabka is the shit.
As a martial artist, like, it's so much more believable.
They hired him because of, like, he got hired to be a person that knew how to do karate.
He did.
And he already had, like, the experience coming in.
So many fantastic, like, shit sci-fi channel level B-movies in the 90s and, like, late 90s. Post
it makes me fame. I'm so heartened to know it's, that he's like
so great
got a whole new career now out of this whole thing because like
he deserves it. He's a talented guy.
Zabka and is greater than
even in those shit B movies like Macho. Python 2 he still is it.
He just didn't catch the right break.
There's a level of effort that you see people put in where they're not just phoning it in and aware that they're starring in Python 2, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. He swings for the fences every time.
For sure.
I hope Terry Silver comes back next season.
They've all but teased that that's what's happening. Because
Alex didn't stay up he fell asleep halfway through Karate Kid Part 2. We didn't watch Karate Kid Part 3, and then they came off Netflix, which sucks.
Oh, they're off?
Yeah.
They're on IMDb, though.
Right. Balls.
That doesn't do me any good.
If you have a Fire Stick?
Watching stuff on IMDb's. There's more commercials on there than there are on regular TV.
And they listen, and it listens to you, so it's giving you commercials that you're like, you start to like, does this pertain to me? Are you talking to me? Then you start to research that, like, there was something about, because I have like a varicose vein issue. So I was asking, like, talking about varicose veins. And so it sent me down a fucking rabbit hole.
What? That's weird.
I found this video that was this dude just, it's like 15 minutes of this dude saying how awesome Terry Silver is. And so I was like, okay, we don't need to watch Karate Kid Part 3. I can just show this to Alex. And he's like, this guy's so much like you, Dad. And I was a little older than you when Karate Kid Part 3 came out. And he's like, but he even does your laugh. And I was like, he informed most of like right when I was most impressionable. He was the coolest person in the world. And he was like,
no, it's not dead or alive, honey. It's alive or dead.
Terry Silver is like is the coolest fucking person in the universe.
The chick fight movie with all the
basically the premise of Terry Silver is I get whatever I want. I don't have any like nothing that gets in my way.
And like universally petty and just I mean he's doing like, this for karate revenge on a couple of douchebags.
That's like, all you had to say. But then, I'm going to go out of my way to make their life miserable. And it's like
I think about
who does that?
And what can I do today to fuck up their world?
I was here, and like my buddy called me up and was like he needed something.
A character,
and I would go fuck people up and spent millions of my own dollars just to fuck with people because my war buddy needed help. Yeah. I totally get
take the
that.
Time to cut out letters from magazines to make like a ransom letter type thing that says like I know what you did and just send it to them to make them really uneasy, like that kind of shit.
And I was like, oh, okay, I totally understand Terry Silver even as an adult. And this video, if you can find it on the YouTube,
that's great.
It's totally worth your 15 minutes because the dudes. The dude's got the background of Terry Silver's mansion, and he's in like the robe that Terry Silver's in at the beginning, and he's cutting back and forth. And I guess the character wasn't supposed to be a martial artist. He He was just supposed to be a rich dude who was conniving, and Martin Cove was supposed to be the karate dude. But then they hired Thomas Ian Griffith based on his theater work. And then he's like, oh no, I'm a black belt in Tang Soo Do and fucking this other martial art. And they're like, oh great. And so cool. They totally rewrote the Terry Silver character.
So he's the real life embodiment of that whole trope where everyone in the universe somehow knows Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Also,
he's a rich dude, but he also...
Ron, you'll be happy to... No, well, I don't know if you'll be happy, but I was pleasantly surprised. Anthony Michael Hall makes a overarching appearance in the Cobra Kai season 3. Yeah.
I haven't seen him in anything since
the...
I think the Dark
Cove's
Knight.
Cove's the guy that was over Cove. His his sergeant, his boss.
That was Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, little hefty, huh?
Yeah,
packed on some pounds. He's not that little skinny rail.
He doesn't look at all like even the last time I saw.
I can't remember if it was Batman.
The last time I saw him was Batman. Was the Dark Knight?
Was it the Dark Knight?
Yeah,
that was the one. He was the TV news host.
Yeah.
Well, and the kid that played,
but he played that well. Yeah.
Is Martin Cove's son?
No. The kid that played the kid you thought was young Kreese at the table.
Uh-huh.
You remember when they're all the guy that tripped Kreese?
Uh-huh.
That is actually Martin Cove's son.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought the kid that
And that's why him. And I think it was this bait and switch. It's like we want you to think it's this guy. But that was actually his kid. And the one that played was another actor, but it was a good casting choice because they look real similar at that age.
Yeah, and then they do the bait and switch on Terry Silver too.
Yeah,
the ponytail guy. You think, oh, that's Terry Silver, and then it's not.
Right,
like the other skeletal looking fucking
the Skeletoid. Yeah,
yeah. What a great fucking show!
It was. Yeah,
yeah. I really.
I'll be rewatching the whole thing pretty
Tango
soon.
Tango and Cash. Tango and Cash are narcotics officers.
I really need to get through season 3.
The dialogue alone is just some of the best stuff that you'll come across. On to the next thing. Wonder Woman 84.
Strong opinions.
I could not stay awake.
Bruno, did you watch Wonder Woman 84?
I've not. No, I heard not good things though. You
save your time, sir.
Just watch the Honest trailer. Watch that today and I feel totally vindicated.
Oh, now I need to watch that.
I'm not huge on those anymore. I haven't enjoyed them as much as I used to in the past, but this one
there are some that are really some well are done hit and miss.
And they made the joke at the and I was really pissed because I watched it today and it was the joke that I was going to make on the show tonight, but we all have been dealing with the COVID stuff and no wide theatrical releases and no real like big quote unquote blockbuster movie releases for so long. And we were all so desperate for it. And then Wonder Woman 84 came out and we're all Pedro Pascal's character. Like, I renounce my wish. I don't want blockbuster movies. God damn. If they're going to be like that, like it's,
Well, and what sucks is Chris Pine and Gal Gadot have so much fucking charisma.
They do.
I want to like this.
This has no right being bad.
There was no reason to even bring him back, except for the fact that they have good chemistry.
Did it feel a lot like an 80s scripted TV show more than a movie, like paying tribute to the 80s?
I don't know.
I have a question for you guys in the same realm of Wonder Woman and the 80s and stuff. Have you guys seen the trailer to the new Marvel show, WandaVision?
Oh, dude, yes. I'm super stoked for WandaVision.
It looks good.
It looks really good.
It does look really good.
I'm really, really genuinely excited for it. I'm a big Marvel fanboy in the first place, but...
Marvel doesn't seem to fuck up a lot.
They even when they stumble, it's just average. It's not bad.
Right.
And... WandaVision strikes me as something like what they did with the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, where they're
giving it a flavor.
They're going to do what they're going to do, and it's not going to fit into any kind of specific mold.
But it's going to stay true to the universe.
It's going to be its own thing, and it's when you have that level of dedication to it, of like, no, this is a, it's got a clear, pardon the play on words, but it's got a clear vision of they know what they want it to be.
Yeah.
And they stick to it. And when they do that, it works really, really fucking well.
Well, there's one central overlord, quote unquote, right? Which is Kevin Feige. And he's just manning everything.
Every studio probably wishes they could figure out a way to either clone or like find their own Kevin Feige.
He and Favreau are two of the best people at paying fan service, but without going to the extreme.
It doesn't seem, I mean, there are times where it does seem like fan service, but it's not as heavy handed.
It's not like Abrams heavy.
In the
Star Wars movies. Yeah.
No, I am really...
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
I'm really genuinely pumped for WandaVision. I've heard a few things that make me even more excited for it. Like, I guess they really, really... The first episode, they lean so heavy into the whole sitcom idea that the first episode actually filmed in front of a live audience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my son tells me all this stuff because he like
that
follows
that level
it.
Of commitment so speaks volumes to how much they care. And when you care that much, it comes through in the product.
And it
really does come through
so much.
Yeah.
That
they're so great.
I don't care for Vision or Wanda that much,
but I like
Bettany and Olsen so much that I've come to care for the characters.
What interests me is,
is that out yet?
The second, what's that?
WandaVision.
No, it comes out the 15th.
Sweet. We can watch
Friday.
It this weekend.
Yeah. What interests me is not only like, apparently it is going to spill very directly into the new Spider-Man movie, the new Doctor Strange movie. Like, apparently it has a lot of overarching things that are going to come from it, but like, the little girl from Captain Marvel, the little black girl that was friends with her. Monica Rambeau. She's in it as an adult. Mm-hmm. The Asian dude that was like a FBI agent or whatever from the Ant-Man movies, who was making sure that Ant-Man was on house arrest. He's in it. Mm-hmm. The really chesty girl from Two Broke Girls and the Thor movies.
Yeah.
She's in it.
Kat Dennings.
Yeah, Kat Dennings. When they walk into the room before she does, it's what you remember her for. It's not my fault, it's her fault.
That's Jesus's fault. Yeah.
But
he blessed them titties.
Yeah, but I'm like, how are all of these people who are so tangentially related to different Marvel projects tied into this one? Mm-hmm. That's what interests me, is not just what's going to happen with, because obviously, I mean, Vision died, so the whole thing is going to be some form of either her altering reality or her making up her own reality. Like, I think that's kind of a given.
Slipping into madness.
Yeah,
I think.
But like, how do all these other characters who have literally fuck nothing to do with any of this stuff, how do they tie into it?
I'm glad they're leaning into Herbie in the most, like,
she
legitimately
is the most
powerful
character.
Person.
She is, hands down.
And not following through with a Captain Marvel being, like, she might be the strongest. Sure, whatever. She can move fucking spaceships with her hands or whatever. I don't give a fuck. But
Wanda,
like,
can literally,
Wanda,
like,
can
create
alter
reality. Like,
I have nothing for Marvel. Like, I
just don't care.
I hate that.
The girls were watching the movie the other day, and it's so fucking dumb. And they were trying to do what James Gunn did with the Guardians movies, and they couldn't get the action to line up with the songs. The soundtrack just didn't line up the same, and so it looked hacky, and I didn't like it.
No.
And my problem with that movie goes so far beyond just Brie Larson being a cunt. She's
really off-putting.
Yeah. I mean, the shit she's been saying about Star Wars.
In person, it's remarkable how, like, she almost seems to try to go out of her way
to be
off-putting.
Well, and you see those interviews with her and the rest of the cast, who all seem really cool together. Like, the minute she got injected, she just seemed like she just, it's like
a downer.
Let's throw some Debbie Downer from the SNL sketch.
Let's put sandpaper on everybody's seats. And Don Cheadle, who seems like one of the coolest people in the whole universe, seems like he doesn't want to sit next to her.
Yeah.
And Chris Hemsworth, who the cast of Ghostbusters was all just sitting around. He wasn't even there. And they're all talking about how they couldn't, the only thing they didn't like about him was they couldn't find anything not to like about him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God damn, he can sing too. And he can eat cake and I get fatter. Like everything about Chris Hemsworth is awesome. And he and Don Cheadle are sitting next to her and they're both like leaned away from her. And every time she says anything, they both just seem put off. And like, she's just an abrasive person. It's like putting me in a room with somebody. like, fuck you, Brie Larson.
But the thing to go back to kind of go back to Wonder Woman, but to stay still on this Captain Marvel hate train, which I will gladly ride because that movie was not, it's one of my least favorite Marvel movies. The thing that amazed me so much about, everybody was so up in arms and it was such a big thing for, you saw the pictures of little girls dressed up as Wonder Woman and meeting Gal Gadot and all that stuff. And it was such a big movement for like feminism and female empowerment. And oh, it's the first woman superhero movie and girls can be superheroes too and blah, 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 blah. And it was, it admittedly, in a lot of ways, it was actually a real thing. Like it's kind of a big deal. I get that I'm an average white male, so it doesn't speak to me.
The first one felt that way, though, up until the third act when it turned into a trash superhero movie.
The third act, it just turned into a let's fight a big CG monster thing. Like it was not great, but the sequel is, you have shitty Kristen Wiig character who is like maybe gay for Wonder Woman, but we can't go over the top and say that she is, but she's jealous of the fact that she can wear heels. And the whole central crux of her character is literally just middle school girl level bitchy jealousy.
Well, I can get on that train because I'm jealous of how pretty Gal Gadot is.
I mean, everybody should be. She's like borderline physically
perfect.
Well,
that was but I think, intended to be the takeaway from the 80s type theme.
That's a good point.
That is a good point. But you go from this female empowerment, like, charge of the whole first movie to the second movie, literally spitting in the face of it, of like, no, forget the female empowerment. We want petty bitches. Wonder Woman's only goal is to be with a man that she loves. And like
some dick she got 80 years ago.
It is so far removed from the idea of what the whole first movie stood for.
And you know what they did? They empowered Patty Jenkins. That's
what I was just going to say, is they let Patty Jenkins write it.
That's what happens when you empower females.
She didn't write the first one. She just directed it.
Sorry. I'm going to get us banned from
and they let her handle the story for the second one.
Yeah.
And look what happened.
And she's obviously got some insecurities instilled by toxic male Hollywood.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Most definitely.
Poor Patty Jenkins. That's not on her. That's male Hollywood's fault.
Is it Linda Carter?
Yeah.
Did she make the guest appearance at the end? Mm-hmm. Did that feel really, 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 really forced?
That could not have been more forced.
Linda Carter was my very first love.
Boy, I didn't.
So you take that back.
She was
one
of my first crushes, but yeah, it couldn't have been.
When I was dealing blackjack in Vegas, that we had a Wonder Woman.
They might as well have had her walk onto the stage and just be like, I was Wonder Woman too.
We had a Wonder Woman slot machine across from me.
They have them at the casino.
And it played all the time. I would work a 10-hour shift and it would play. And it made my whole fucking night.
I play the Wonder Woman slot machine at the Clearwater Casino.
That's awesome.
Largely because it's one of the few machines that I can actually win at, but also because I stare at Linda Carter the entire time that I'm losing money.
Wonder Woman!
They play the theme song and everything. It's fucking
great. By the way, back to this Hellace. Look how clean.
That is a good pour.
That's a clean that beer.
Oh God, it's already 8:15. I was going to say I should have one more, but it's getting late.
I have one more.
Okay. I'll have one more, please.
We got a few things to march through.
Yeah.
Do you want another Helles, or do you want the Helles are the big ones? Do you want a
normal bottle?
Yeah, normal bottle. No, I honestly,
these are the Irish Reds.
So we have Bruno. We have a little group chat between the three of us
that we
do for prep work for the show and everything, that we just kind of bounce ideas off of each other all week long, and and these guys had both watched Wonder Woman prior to me watching it. And I had already heard all of the negative things that you have obviously heard about it as well. And they, Ward referred to it as digital narcolepsy at some point in our conversation.
And I only made it 20 minutes in.
I will tell you, having been warned by them and still watching it, if I could take the decision back, I would. Save yourself the time. Definitely don't watch it.
So many other good things to watch on HBO Max,
right,
dude? So much.
This new one coming up, the Little Things,
to Batman the Animated Series last night.
Have you seen?
That's my problem. Is like there's just so much to watch. I can't watch everything.
Yeah,
we've been watching old episodes of Stargate because there is so much to watch, but then there's also like. What to watch? What is it that I'm gonna walk into? I mean, I make appointments for things like Cobra Kai and Succession when it comes back.
Did you
on.
Watch that History of Swear Words thing on Netflix?
I've watched. It was pretty funny. A couple of them so far.
Disappointing.
It wasn't what I was expecting.
It was not what I was expecting. It was like one of those the VH1. You remember when they used to do the I Love the 90s and I Love the 80s?
But I do like those.
I do too.
Where's Hal Sparks though?
Yeah, where's your Hal Sparks? Yeah.
I wasn't gonna watch it because I didn't care.
I was.
And Jenny decided to watch it.
It was okay.
She's like, let's watch it.
It hooks you enough.
And she was like, you probably already know all this. And I was like, yeah, probably. And then the first one is fuck, and I was like, yeah, that comes from the old Middle English German frickin to strike, and she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And then it came up and it said it was from Norwegian, but
my grandma
My
grandma tried to tell me for undue carnal knowledge long ago, like when we were first married or something like that,
Or fornication under
command of the king.
There was that one too, but there was for undue carnal knowledge was something I think that she thought was bandied about in the 1800s over here.
Van Halen album.
It was.
Was
yeah.
it?
Yeah. For unlawful carnal knowledge.
Carnal knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. But.
But.
Yeah. And people believe that shit.
Yeah. They'll just. If someone says it, especially before Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So.
It did. It ended up all being shit that I already knew.
Yeah.
And.
And a lot of relatively useless commentary from C-list comedians.
And I'm pretty convinced that every actor, when they get their Oscar, that solidifies the rest of their career. Look at, Nicolas Cage has that operatic style. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that until he did Moonstruck. And then after that, everything was like that. Every single role he did after that was that huge, totally
bigger than life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did he get the Oscar for Moonstruck?
Yeah.
He got one for Leaving Las Vegas too, though, didn't he?
Yeah. And you that was say, the only time I think he ever altered that.
I thought so.
And
I could be wrong, but I thought he got one.
Pacino. Pacino's the same way because he's latched onto that.
Hoo-ah!
Right.
Whole fucking blind colonel bullshit. Yeah. And after he got his Oscar for that, everything he did was.
It's all been that since then, or some variation
some
of that.
Some variation
there's,
of him
there's no
yelling
subtle,
in every.
There's no, like Michael Corleone, you watch Dog Day Afternoon, more subtle roles.
Yeah.
He's more subtle.
Even Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah.
He had some control. There was some definite in your face. There was some development toward what later Colonel, whatever his face was going to be. But
it was less, it was more delicate and. And now it was less bull
in the China shop. And the only time it was probably justified.
Tom
was
Hanks
when he
does
played.
That too with the stuff that he does. He plays Tom Hanks playing.
Yeah.
Whatever he's playing, whatever.
And I don't think Al Pacino's like that in real life.
No, and I think he's pretty, seems pretty reserved.
Who, somebody was doing an interview and talking about dating Al Pacino. And she said that you couldn't date Al Pacino because he was married to acting. And she dated him before Scent of a Woman, which he got the Oscar for.
Oh.
And she said that he was totally married to acting. He had nothing else in the world that he loved. And he was supposed to get the Oscar like 2 years before for some other role, and he didn't get it. And then Scent of a Woman was his, kind of like Denzel Washington was supposed to get it for something else.
It's the basically the courtesy Oscar.
He should have got it for Philadelphia. Should have
got
it for
this. We're going to give it to you now for this. And then he got it
for Training Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were 100 other roles that Denzel Washington probably should have gotten it for. And
yeah, yeah, because Training Day is not a movie I go back to.
No, it's a good movie.
Whoa, I was going to say Training Day is good,
but no, it's not bad. Not it's best it's not
bad, but it's not like, one that I'm like, let's watch Training Day because of the Oscar.
I mean, you look at
Fallen.
Man on Fire. Man on Fire is probably my favorite movie.
Equalizer, honestly, even Equalizer's just for being a straightforward, great. Just badass action movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of. Has John Goodman ever pulled an Oscar?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but he deserves
for the Big Lebowski.
He almost deserves like a lifetime best supporting actor Oscar.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, lifetime achievement award.
Yeah.
You know,
at best. If they don't give him something
that Anthony Hopkins got one for 20 minutes. For Silence of the Lambs. He should have got one for the 20 minutes that he spent in Flight, because that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every second that he was on screen in Flight was amazing.
I thought he did really good in The Gambler.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. That was like
he was the only good thing about The Gambler.
Yes, he was.
Was him. That's it. There was nothing else good about it.
Marky Mark and just about everything he's in. The Gambler was not a great movie, but
no.
And every minute John Goodman was on screen,
there's nothing that I've seen John Goodman in that really like
Fallen is another he that elevated. John Goodman was John in. Goodman.
That's what made me bring it up was his character in Fallen, because like the second he's possessed by the serial killer or whatever it was,
demeanor change.
Yeah, and he like. It like that sold of, like prior to anybody else doing that, he sold me on it.
Yeah.
What's the one with is it Primal Fear with
Edward Norton, Gene Hackman,
Richard Gere, where Ed Norton at the end of the movie just has that entire
he invented the slow clap.
You actually look like the mannerisms change. Like you don't. That's impressive acting.
Yeah, it is.
Where it's subtle in ways that you wouldn't even notice.
He's another one that I'd like to be in a movie in, but not ever have to work with.
I've heard he's really, really,
he seems neurotic.
Yeah. But speaking of the Oscars, because it's something that you have up here.
Oh yeah.
And
it's a Denzel Washington movie.
It's coming to
we're nearing Oscar season.
You know
what was our year like? Because so far I don't see a whole lot of candidacy out there for Oscar contenders.
Yeah,
Tenet's gonna win everything.
it'll finally get Christopher Nolan.
It's like the only movie that came out, so they're gonna win everything.
You know what? Well, I have on my list The Devil All the Time. That's the only one that stands out to me as one that would fit that caliber of Oscar contention.
Yeah.
And then this new trailer that we just watched for the Denzel Washington
but
one.
But that doesn't come out until after. That'll be a next year contender.
Yeah.
Does it fall outside of the window?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The window is last year.
Yeah. The window is
December 31st.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Which is weird that they didn't release it.
I'm sure
prior. And Denzel Washington's pissed because it's going out on HBO. From what I understand, he's not happy.
There's a lot of people that are pissed about that kind of stuff.
I'm eating it right up. Because
me too. I'll watch the fuck out of it.
It fucks with their residuals.
A lot of people who are in Denis Villeneuve's Dune are pissed about it not going to theaters because they part of their contract is back end residuals off of the box office. So if it doesn't go to theaters, they potentially lose a healthy chunk of money. And a lot of actors, you'll see, like Robert Downey Jr., when he took on the Iron Man role, he deliberately took less money
up front
so that he could get residuals off the box office. And that's where he made, you know, the fucking billion.
Yeah. Well, that's the fuck you money.
That's the formula. Definitely. That's the formula
that I can make Doolittle money. Yeah.
Right.
I can't believe they pushed so hard to make that pile of shit.
That's a formula that you can't adhere to anymore. They're going to have to abandon it.
They're going to have to adapt to it.
And they can bark about it, but they wouldn't have made any fucking money. Have you looked at Reddit, like on any of the respectable subreddits? Like the people's absolute fear of any public gathering or not wearing masks or any of that shit. Like, I get it if you have to wear it to work for whatever, because work makes you do it, or work has insurance things they have to qualify. But like, just going to a restaurant or whatever, like, fuck you. I'm not wearing a mask. You can eat my fucking ass.
I have
well, they won't, because they want to wear that mask.
They can put up a dental dam. I don't give a shit.
I have a friend who we are very close friends, but there are a few things COVID related that we don't necessarily see eye to eye on. And he is
brown eye to brown eye.
I guess you would say, like, he's a musician. He's in a band. He gets paid to play music at venues and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's not like he's a big fucking $1 million recording artist or anything like that. But he has spoken several times during this pandemic about how much he misses playing live music, and how he and his band don't practice currently because he doesn't think that it's smart for them to all be, you know, the four of them or the three of them to be crowded together in a room without masks on. And I'm like, I think that is, you know, as I sit in a room with three guys without masks on and none of us are 6 feet apart, I think that's taking it to an unhealthy level. Like, are any of you sick? Do any of you have any symptoms? Have any of you been around somebody who had COVID lately? If you haven't, then what is stopping you from getting together and practicing?
It's not even that. It's like, dude, you're a musician. You can just put a mask on and play your instrument.
Yeah.
Right. If you're not the singer,
he sings backup vocals, but when you're practicing, who cares if your backup vocals are coming through a mask?
Exactly.
It seems, I hate to say it, and I for the first time in the history of the show, I'm going to hope that he's not listening, because I am kind of calling him out on it. But like I said, I'm sitting in a room with three guys right now who none of us have masks on, and I've been doing it every 2 weeks for the majority of the pandemic. If I had a fever, or if I was like sickly, I've canceled on shows before. Like, sorry guys, I've got a fever. I've got the wicked shits. I can't come.
Yeah. If I was sick, I just wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't be here. But if I'm not, the only thing that is stopping you,
I'd phone in from my basement, because I can do that.
Your own decision to be like, no, I don't think it's a good idea.
And here's the other thing too. It's like, you saw this a lot with, especially the holidays. It's like, oh, I'm not going to my parents or my in-laws or whatever, because we don't want to spread it. It's like, guys, the tests are practically free. If you guys get tested and they get tested and everyone is negative, then you're negative.
Then what's the worry?
What are you worried about?
Yeah, no, there are a lot of people who, and I use him as that example of like, well, it's not a good idea for us to get in a crowded basement and collaborate. It's like, okay, if none of you are sick, you're not worried about spreading anything. There's nothing to spread.
And they've already done a study that asymptomatic spread is not a thing. If you're not sneezing, if you're not feverish, if you're not coughing, you're not spreading it.
It doesn't add up to me. It seems
a little excessive. And that's the problem. It's like, you know, things get taken to the extremes.
Well, and then if you're in the position where you're like, it seems excessive, and then someone's like, well, does that mean you don't care?
Bruno wants people to die.
No, it's like Hud's just said about if you look at some of the discussions on Reddit.
Yeah.
You
can't be one or the other or land somewhere in between.
You cannot say anything at all in some of those online communities about not wearing a mask without people blowing you the fuck up.
Yeah.
And
so it's funny you guys bring that up. And when we got to these next topics, I was going to bring this up. It was a podcast I actually listened to today where this guy was commenting on the whole thing at the Capitol building.
Oh yeah.
And he was saying how like we have gone to extremes, and it's like, if you even say one thing against one side, they automatically think you're completely against them and you're on the other side. Like, no,
there is no middle ground.
There is middle ground, you know, and these people think there's no middle ground.
Yeah.
Like right. you're either with me or against me. Like, what are you saying?
You can't say, well, they were gathering to protest without people being like, oh, so you support the complete insurrection. Yeah. Country. Or you can't say, yeah, no, what they did was really wrong without being like, oh, it wasn't wrong. Look at
what. Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you, some little snowflake? Like, bro, yeah, relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
There is no middle ground in a lot of those.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is frightening. And you see, one of the things that I've seen a lot of, especially on Reddit over the last couple days since this whole Capitol thing happened, was, quite literal, there's no other way to describe it, witch hunts, where people are openly like, I'm going to find pictures of this person.
Yeah, I heard about that. With
everyone that I can,
not some
hopes that we can find this one person who was spotted at the Capitol. Look at how many people have been fired or, you know, blacklisted.
Yeah, people are getting doxxed. They're getting doxxed. Like their information is being published online.
Yeah.
And getting their lives ruined. Well, you know, look, in one perspective, I'm like, you get what you deserve. In the other side, I'm like, wow, that kind of sucks. Like, your information could just be made public that easily.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Right.
Fun fact. I don't know if you guys saw, there's video.
Like, if I'm big enough of an asshole.
Yeah.
Then.
There's video floating around and it's really uncomfortable to watch because you actually see her get shot. But the girl who got shot.
Oh, I saw it.
Okay. So you saw the video? That girl who got shot.
She deserved it. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, she absolutely deserved it. She graduated with one of my best friends.
Holy shit. Like, dude. Was
in his graduating class at El Capitan High School in San Diego, California in 2003.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts. That's a little surreal, man.
But, don't break out windows of the Capitol building.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, what are you
thinking? How about the lady that got trampled that had the don't tread on me?
Yeah.
That's thing. So that, perfect.
I love the irony. The irony behind it, because it's like, there's nothing to do but laugh at that point.
Yeah.
Like, you can't ask me to feel bad.
The thing that I
you can't.
In
not wearing that shirt.
In the Civil War era, when the Confederates were stumping real hard for, you know, separating themselves from the United States. Do you think
that's a real it's nice way to put it?
Well, yeah. I'm
stumping being, real hard.
I'm being delicate here.
You know, that was about debt and not about slavery.
It was a lot more about a lot of things than it was slavery.
They like to push the slavery angle, but it was mostly about.
It was slavery was just part of it, but
debt.
Do you think that those people back then, they were willing to die for their cause? Now,
no one that breached the Capitol was willing to die for their cause.
No, now you have people who are like, we're going to go do this. We're going to try and no, Matthew, I cannot show you that because it is a woman literally getting shot in real life. No, I love you. I'm sorry, but no, I'm not going to show you that. I wish I hadn't seen it because it's really
disturbing.
But now you have these people who are like, okay, we are going to storm the Capitol. We are going to breach police barricades. We are going to, one of the DC police officers was trampled to death.
He was hit with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Died of
the expectation. Okay. I feel like the expectation was a photo op.
Well, look at how many of them were on their phones while they were doing it. Yeah, right. Obviously.
Or the lectern pose the shit like, and the fucking Simpsons one.
But then these people, they go and do this, and any kind of retaliation that they face, oh, she wasn't a domestic terrorist. She was voicing her freedom. She didn't deserve to die. You're trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You're trying to claim that you are taking a basically live or die stand against what you believe in. But then the consequences when they don't shake out in your favor, well, that's not fair. Well, I'm protected by this. And it's somebody had said, you're fighting against being protected by that, you dumb fuck.
I saw something. Somebody said these people thought they were going to go in there and grab up some senators and then just go back to work.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Yeah,
I just did not understand what they were doing.
No, they didn't.
I don't think
they were going to go in there and grab up some people. Did you see that video that I shared? Like, they were just walking around. Like,
I would say probably 70% of the people, maybe even more, maybe closer to 80, were just kind of following orders.
They were just there.
Because
also don't go to the Capitol building with pipe bombs,
right?
With no intent.
Most of those people were pipe bombers either.
No, most of them weren't. There was probably two. Most of those people should not have been
anywhere near there.
They have a person that they admire. Unfortunately, who's telling them, "Hey, we're all going to get dead raccoons on his head." Unstable individual, but he is like it's amazing to me how much thought he feels with people.
It's really
astounding that he can say something and
Barack
it just
Obama
sends
didn't resonate these, to black communities the way that Trump resonates to like moderately
whatever,
to severely
whatever this
racist
is.
White people.
Whatever, like, whatever they are.
It's really kind of crazy the way that he fuels
he
them.
Woke it's, up this fucking it's sleeping nuts. Giant it's that nuts. Is insane.
It's really, really nuts.
And I think that's probably for me the hardest part to reconcile with is like they're these weird it's this weird faction of people and it feels almost unrealistic how weird and out there that they are. Like it just feels like I don't know. It does feel manufactured to a
it
degree.
It all felt so scripted,
very, very scripted. Like you said, it seemed very much like a work.
Yeah,
yeah. To borrow the wrestling phrase,
because I'm not putting that on any particular party. I just feel like it could be completely tied to that group of people. They could be that fucking stupid.
Well, okay. I'm gonna stop you right there.
Okay.
Because yes, I 100% believe that it actually is just that simple fact of people being that stupid. And the example I'm going to give is I was speaking to my ex-wife's grandma this week. And
I've spoken to people who have that fucking thick.
She has a very pretty consistent policy of not talking politics in her house, mm-hmm. which I really, really like.
Oh yeah, that's admirable.
But the Capitol thing came up, and
why wouldn't it?
I was talking about the whole, you know, like no, the whole thing. Like he was encouraging people to come for several weeks prior to. Like,
yeah, this I mean, was he's a, been priming.
This was. I don't want to necessarily say organized.
He's been tickling that taint
was,
for.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't necessarily. This is beautiful, beautiful
imagery.
Alliteration.
Tickling right the taint. There's an episode title.
I like that. Yeah. alliteration there. But I don't know that I want to use the word organized because it did seem very disorganized. Like you said, 100%. Most people that were there seemed like they were just there.
They didn't even know what they showed up. Like they showed up to Trump's thing that day and it was like, and he put that out there and it's like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go do this now. But she and I were talking about it, and she's not to the extent of what you think of when people use the phrase Trumper, where they're just like blindly ignorant and support him unequivocally. But she made the statement when we were talking about the transition into to Biden being president. She said, it just seems to me like all the Democrats have done from the moment that he got in the presidency was try to figure out a way to make sure that he didn't win the next one.
Yeah, that's and I was how. Like,
yeah, that's their fucking.
That's the point. Yeah,
that's the whole fucking point. What are you talking about? Like,
well, let's just see what happens.
Yeah, they're not. They want the presidency to further their agendas. They are not just going to be like, well, right. He won. Shucks.
You don't think the next yeah, exactly. 2 years
like
are gonna drive fucking Republicans fucking bonkers because they're gonna get so much fucking shit done in the next 2 years before the next primary?
I couldn't believe
or
it.
They're going to try to, but there's still some Democrat because it's like what 50-50 now, House and Senate
ish.
There's a chance you might be seeing the end of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
If a lot of this shit is true, that's being said, right? And how like some Republicans were involved in all this and everything, you might be seeing the end of the party.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary in a way.
And you're all.
What are you now going to be a one party system? That's
right. You're all
borderline dictatorship.
It's not borderline. It is dictatorship.
Well, but it's just you're like not, one you're party not, this way. And you're, slightly the other
you're
way.
Not just seeing the as we talked about earlier, right as we were going live when I was discovering the talks about the impeachment stuff, you're not just seeing the potential guilty parties of the Republicans that were involved, but you're seeing more Republicans deliberately like, I don't feel that way, like
right.
themselves from it.
Yeah, more and more are getting on board with the impeachment idea.
Yeah. They're whether or not they're a Republican, be damned. They're taking at least enough of a stance to be like, nope, I don't have anything to do with that.
Well, and I feel like the party themselves have kind of divorced themselves from Trump. Actual Republicans, because he's not really a Republican.
No,
which is why I think he lost was because the Republican Party really divorced themselves from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not, because he never was a Republican.
No.
He was a Democrat until 96, 97. And then he'd made that speech in 94 when he said, if I was going to run for president, I'd run as a Republican because fucking you can get those people to vote for anybody.
Yeah. I mean, they jumped on board to anything.
You just got to say the right thing.
So that objection thing the other day on agreeing to the objection. There was 122 Republicans that jumped, and there might have been a couple more after that, but so I had sent a message. I didn't send it to our team, but I sent a message to a friend of mine. I said, I find it confounding that 122 people in our Congress eat their own shit at dinner every night. I mean, say what you will about the results of the election. We've gone through the fucking motions at this point. To the extent that we're able to go through the motions.
Right.
Like, I still hold, I will die on the hill. I firmly believe in the idea of election tampering in terms of like influencing.
If this election was like tampered that. With, then the previous one was tampered with exponentially.
Well, that's my point. It's like, is there election tampering? I'm sure there is, but it's not like it's one sided. I'm sure both parties do it. You know, don't be mad. One party did it.
Yeah, collusive effort on both sides. Nobody's above.
I refuse to believe that Biden got 81 million votes.
I don't.
I don't think he's more popular than Obama.
I don't think it has anything to do with popularity.
Yeah, it's not.
All it has to do with is you took arguably the most. Okay, so look at how
it was like a record. Wasn't it a record setting turnout?
It was a record setting turnout, not just for Biden winning. Trump in losing got more votes.
Right.
Obama got when he won.
Trump got more votes losing than he got when he won.
The thing is look at how many people voted for Trump purely on the basis of, I don't care, I won't vote for Hillary.
Exactly. And this election was the same thing.
Was build that number up to the point, all of those mail-in ballots, there were people who didn't give a fuck about the presidency or about voting who could wait to not vote for Trump.
Or vote for Trump.
They were not
voting. There were still ones that wanted to vote for him, too.
There were. But these were not people who were like, oh, I want Joe Biden. Joe Biden's going to fix
it.
They were people who were literally frothing at the mouth to get
Trump out. Yeah.
That's absolutely the only reason why.
Exactly.
I don't think, unless you deal with in the future a president who is this disliked or as revered as, I don't know, who's,
and why not,
who's the most, who's the most recent, like, truly revered president?
Eisenhower? JFK? Reagan? There's some people who like to suck Reagan's.
There was a lot of people who really were hard up.
They're dismantling Reagan, though.
In
more recent years. But
the whole war on drugs thing that Nancy put together was a real shit show. But, I mean,
Obama will have a legacy at some point.
Obama was pretty fucking revered, minus the whole show us your birth certificate thing.
Right.
But unless you get another president who is who elicits that strong of an opinion, whether it be them revering him or them hating him.
Well, fuck, Roosevelt had 3.5 terms and he only didn't have 4 because he died.
Yeah. I don't think you'll see this level of voter turnout again for a while.
I hope not.
I really don't. I don't think it had anything to do with tampering. Yeah. I really do think it just had to do with people could not.
They're going to run. They'll run a milquetoast Republican candidate for the next election. They're not going to run anybody that's dangerous or fuck that. It's been, well, okay,
just somebody really soft and non-threatening.
Maybe, but then again, maybe not. Maybe what they want to go to is they want to adhere to the way the party is structured right now. To
see, I think with Biden's age factoring
into rally
that,
around
Biden, that Trump Biden will not survive his term.
Maybe they want someone in between.
They need him to survive 2 years, and then she can take over halfway through, and then carry 2 terms of her own.
Right.
They
want her to have 10 years. That's the idea. The thing I've heard bandied about is he runs for 2, and then he steps down because he's too.
I'm losing my faculties. I can't reasonably enforce the duties of the presidency.
Right.
But see, that's scary though, because that also sets precedence.
It does.
Right.
Yeah.
But they don't care at this point.
Yeah.
It's all been like for the last 4 years or probably 12 years more, it's been a show. It's
and that's the problem. That's the problem. It's all a joke.
Because of all the backlash that Bush got.
And who was he?
I was young when it
like
happened.
Like, really?
Right.
I was young when it happened, but I firmly believe that the presidency has really, truly been a dog and pony show since Bill Clinton played the saxophone on MTV.
Oh, I agree. And it's well, I had this in the notes as well.
What's up, young people? I'm cool. All I think of is Steve Buscemi on 30 Rock. What's up, fellow kids?
The 50-50 divide that we have right now feels in large part manufactured and due in part to fucking like gerrymandering and stuff like that, but also just in how we kind of orchestrate the elections.
Well, I always go back to the night that Obama was first elected. And if you want to look any further, I was watching the TV with my parents.
How close was the Obama election though? What was his margin?
Oh gosh, I don't know. All I know is that I was watching.
I feel like everyone since
the first one or the second one?
The first one.
I'm going to look it up. Was that 2000?
Look it up. But because that was when he ran against McCain and Palin.
I didn't vote in that when I was in Iraq.
I didn't vote in that one either.
And I knew Idaho would go for McCain.
But
so my vote wouldn't have been counted.
I've always had this real fucking pissy attitude about Electoral College.
I feel the same about Electoral College, but it was pretty close. It was 69 million to 59 million.
Yeah.
And oh shit, actually Obama demolished with the Electoral College. He got 365 to John McCain's
really
73.
Yeah, Sarah Palin was a mistake.
Oof, right. Yeah. Yeah, I would say the Palin thing Palin, played into
Palin
that.
Was a really, really bad play on their part.
But that was the first evidence of their trying to shake up that party.
But I watched I was watching the night of, and I was watching MSNBC. And as they were announcing the electoral votes and saying, yeah, no, it's a guarantee Obama is going to be our first black president, so on and so forth, they had fucking balloons drop from the ceiling like somebody just won on The Price is Right. Like it was a big celebratory thing. And then you push channel down one button on your TV remote and it switches to Fox News. And these people all were already talking about how the next 4 years were going to spell the death of America. They all looked like somebody had just shot their dog in front of them.
It's because balloons are cheap,
like,
man. So is helium, really, okay, in the grand scheme of things.
There you go. My 11-year-old son is smart enough to understand. He'll be 12 in May.
The Electoral College is dumb. It's antiquated and it's
way
so outdated.
Yes. It is.
And, you know, popular vote needs to be the way. And
No. See, I can't agree with you there. Popular vote can't be the way. Not the way it's set up right now.
Well,
it would be completely unfair to the rest of the country. New York and California would win every year, every time. Not
govern.
Oh, you're right. That's true.
Based on those two cities.
So what do you reallocate where the Electoral College votes?
Well, it's gerrymandering plays into that.
Yeah. Well, no, you would still, it would be off of citizens' votes, right? But it's not based off of I vote for candidate A. It's like I vote for A, then B, then C. You get what I'm saying? And it's like
the
first one to go.
Netflix did a series about this.
The first one to get to majority or whatever it is wins. But that doesn't really work in a two-party system because there's only technically two parties. I mean, there's more parties, but you only really know about the Democrats.
The third party really needs to come in to the forefront.
We were barely a fart in this.
Yeah, it was bad.
1.2%.
There were some people running their fucking mouths like, "Oh, you shithead libertarians who didn't vote for Trump cost us the election." No, we didn't.
No,
I actually got the reverse. I got the reverse. Like if a vote for anyone besides Biden is a vote for Trump. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I got that. I heard
what
that.
What are you talking about?
We're all four sitting here right now and we're in that third party category. And what I think is probably the most troubling is most of America is probably in that third party category. They just don't really realize it.
Yeah.
And they're too afraid to vote in the third party because like they don't want the other person to win. So instead of voting for the party they want, they vote against the party they don't want.
Right.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying about the thing with Hillary and Trump.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
They didn't vote for Trump. They voted against Hillary.
Yeah.
And they didn't vote for Biden. They voted against Trump.
Well,
that's where the presidency has gotten to now.
Against
is
that
it's not
person
for voting who
and
you
went
want.
Libertarian.
It's just like a sports game.
It's not voting for who you want in. It's for voting for who you don't want. Become.
And that's why.
And that's
what Bruno was saying
game.
about there being. Like, my secondary vote goes to this person. Then you've got, everybody's somehow.
It's a more clever algorithm to get to the.
Ended up getting across the finish line because it was their second choice.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, I'll vote for this guy. But my second choice is Gary Johnson because Governor Johnson was all right.
And that would have put Joe Jorgensen in there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I was thinking
most definitely.
The first.
I think it may have put other candidates
further
ahead, much further ahead than what they were at.
Yeah, there were. I mean, Kanye got.
I'll take Joe Biden, but I like Andrew Yang. 157
votes in this county.
Right.
Kanye fucking West in Nez Perce County.
Right.
Yeah.
Got 157 votes.
I remember after the election happened, you see people posting like, this state had this many votes for Kanye and. Boy, thank goodness I'm not in that state. And it's like, well, your state actually didn't have Kanye on the ballot.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which is something I learned this election, which is kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
I'm fucking 32 years old and I'm learning now that not all candidates appear on all ballots, which to me is fucking mind-boggling.
Doesn't that confuse the shit out of you?
Yeah. It's like I'm running for the president of the United States, all 50 states, but I have to register in all 50 states? This is a federal thing. Why do I have to register in 50 states? That makes it impossible for anyone who wants to make a real, actual change difference to run. Because who the fuck can afford to pay staff to register in all 50 states and know the laws for all 50 states? That's crazy.
Yeah, Idaho's one of the easy ones, and it costs $1,000.
And there's costs associated with that. I didn't even think there were costs associated to register. I thought it was just like, you know, you got to pay lawyers to know what to do. And
if it's only 50,000 or only 1,000 a state, that's 50,000. And we know it's not only 1,000 a state.
No. And who's got $50,000 like that? You know,
right.
Yeah. Who has that money to just drop?
Let's say best case scenario, it costs you $1,000 a state and you could do it yourself. It's $50,000. There's not a lot of people.
But again,
you know, who can just dish out $50,000?
There is no fucking way it is $1,000 in California.
Right.
And so you lie to
and
your
then
kids.
What's probably 10
you tell
grand
your kids, oh, you can grow up to be president someday. Like, fuck no, you can't. I'm sorry.
Dude, there
you need
are
to go
many,
fucking wash assholes in there every state.
There are how many
and find somebody to fund your fucking campaign.
There are
because
how many,
that's how you make that shit happen. You
and adopt
go,
a party that will actually make it.
And there you have to go blue or red.
Over the last fucking 100 years on the planet, and there have been how many presidents? You've got a better chance of looking your child in the eye and saying, you are going to be on a Super Bowl winning football team.
Yeah.
That's a more believable promise to your child than telling them, no, you can grow up and be president.
Yeah.
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 Or
by McDonald's. The end of the month, we'll have had 46.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
46. That's not even a full football team, is it?
I was going to say, no, it's not. There are 53 players on an NFL roster.
Okay.
57 for the expanded COVID year, but yes. You can't even field a full football team with the president.
Yeah. Even as a necromancer.
It would have been a hell of a wide receiver, though.
Going back to the candidates, really, there were only three candidates in the race, which were the Republicans, Democrats, and the Libertarians. All the other people had no shot. They're essentially just like trying to get some kind of momentum for maybe in the future, down the line, who knows how many decades from now.
And I think she pulled a 1.6%.
It was bad. Yeah. It was like I checked previous years, and she's pretty bad for the last few elections. It's pretty low.
Yeah, libertarians are never well, and it's not like our platform is great. And I've said this several times in the chat.
Yeah,
like
it's
like our platform is basically just leave me alone.
Yeah, it's a
And
it's not just, one that's easy to sell to the American people.
And it should.
And the thing too is like. You know, I mean, libertarians run a lot on, you know, no taxes, and that's a little hard to pull, you know, like I'm not for no taxes, right? That's a little absurd.
Yeah. I can't jump fully on.
I like having roads and shit, like infrastructure is
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I like that. I was able to get an education up to high school.
Maybe not all taxation is theft. Maybe
exactly.
Not all taxation is theft. A lot of it may be, but I really like having roads and like a public water system. That's really great.
George Washington.
I don't know for the utilities we pay for that shit. Like the roads, I get, but the utilities, the garbage pickup, we pay separately for that.
I would want
absolutely. Yeah, that's separate.
That's strategic military mind,
but. But yeah, like I'm totally for roads. I'm and the interstate highway system. I back that shit.
That shit we need.
But you know, lots of this stuff.
And even like you know the money that candidates spend on promoting themselves, like that should not be privately raised money. That should be like there's a percentage of taxpayer money that gets allocated evenly amongst the different candidates.
Quote unquote serious candidates. ones that have
Herman Supreme.
Right.
Sure. And then it's like, you know, this is what you're allotted, and use this wisely. And may the best person win.
That kind of stuff should absolutely be forced to be an even playing field.
Yeah, I agree.
It shouldn't be we've got more money so we can spend more money kind of thing.
Right.
That's not a level playing field at all.
Well, and there's a point where the money only gets you so much, because Bloomberg spent more than anybody.
Yeah.
And his campaign was an abortion.
It was before
the sperm even entered the egg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody
he pulled out on her stomach is what that was. It wasn't even.
He was shooting blanks.
But that was another one. Like that, apparently that was just to pull all of the
it was a misdirect, basically, to pull the attention away from Trump.
Yeah.
When he was running as a Democrat?
I thought he was.
We don't even know. That's how bad it was.
I don't think he even got to play in the debates at all.
No.
And he spent over a billion, $1.4 billion of his own money.
Yeah. And didn't he only pull Samoa or something?
You know,
like
I've
that?
Done some really stupid shit with my money in my life. But I'm really happy to
Me
say
too.
That I don't think I've ever done anything that stupid with my money.
Like,
well, he's got enough of it. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Well, yeah, still.
I'm going to drop the grand and be on Idaho's ballot next time.
I will totally vote for you.
Just because.
I totally will. If I end up living in Idaho by the time that comes.
I'll vote for you.
Could you imagine if I won this state just because I'm from here and this is the only place I'll campaign?
That's pretty crazy. Well, you know what, though? I mean, I think that would get you something in the future. Like, don't you get like
a New York Times article?
And I can at least put it on.
Here, we're going to interview the guy who only ran in Idaho and won Idaho. So.
Did you know that I discovered this year?
It would get you good traction for the future.
I could do nothing. If nothing else, I can parlay it into at least more viewers for this show.
Right, sure.
Absolutely.
I discovered.
The campaign slogan was, fuck you, leave me alone.
He's running as an independent, but he's strongly libertarian.
Yeah, very strong libertarian beliefs.
The lead actor for First Kid, the movie First Kid,
ran
for president this year.
No shit.
No way.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
The poster now, it would just say like,
I have that on VHS.
Four, and then in parentheses, it would say not. All taxation is theft.
Not quite all taxation.
Not quite all taxation is theft.
Sinbad First Kid.
Yeah, Brock Pierce is the actor.
Really? In what states?
He was on the ballot in 17 states. I'm just guessing.
I think you're being generous.
His campaign's ads are all that monkey.
Holy shit. He was an independent candidate in the 2020 United States presidential election.
What's this?
He's old enough. What's the age? Like 38?
He's 40.
35.
35 to run.
That kid is my age.
What's the genie movie? That's the Mandela effect with Sinbad.
Oh, Shazam.
Shazam.
But his was different.
Oh my God, that's him!
Wow,
what
great
an
hair, bro!
Looking person.
Shazam is the new movie.
He almost looks like Edward Snowden or something, right?
Yeah, no, he does. He looks like a mix of Edward Snowden and the dude who
and
plays
Julian Assange.
No, Jimmy Simpson.
Yeah, exactly.
The Milk Brothers. Yeah, from fucking Always Sunny.
They're something else. Their name's something else.
You will
else.
Call her. He was on Westworld too. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't figure out how many states he ran in.
There's Kazam, which is
the Shaquille O'Neal one. What's
the
Sinbad one?
Shazam is what I want to say. It was. It's the Mandela effect one that people.
But
are like
Shazam is the new like Marvel movie or the DC movie.
DC movie that came out, but yeah. It's Sinbad genie movie. Yeah, Shazam. It's a popular internet theory that this was a movie that came out in the 90s. And this is one of the only Mandela effect things that I've ever seen that I really firmly. I fucking saw this movie at Blockbuster.
Did you?
Yes, I swear to God.
I want to get on board, but I'm also like, was I just tricked into thinking this because I'm sold on the poster?
I didn't pay enough attention to the Berenstain Bears thing to know
which
because I didn't really read those books as a kid. But I swear to fucking God, I saw this movie at Blockbuster when I was a kid.
The
Fruit Loop one gets me. And there's one other one.
Fruit Loop.
Yeah, the spelling of the Fruit Loops is different.
Froot or
Fruit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Fruitloops. Fruit?
Was it?
Nobody knows. Dude, nobody remembers.
I give up.
There's like six or
I'm
seven
eating
of them.
This steak, and I know that it tastes good.
Fruit Loops? But did the bears stain or stain me? What did the bears do? Zoom in.
Was it really?
Loopies.
Has it really been Fruot my entire life?
There's a how to with John Wilson on HBO.
Yeah.
You should watch that show.
Okay.
I was telling Peter Brill about this when he was on the show last time.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Human Guides episodes that he did for the podcast that he did, like he did his own podcast for.
Yeah.
But there's a Mandela effect segment in one of the episodes. I can't remember which one, but at the end he's going through putting stickers over all the items with the opposite version of what is currently on the shelf. It's great.
See, I have my own that is with the name of the phenomenon, and one of them is it's named after Nelson Mandela and whether he died in prison or not.
Yeah.
And the other is the mandala, which is that thing.
Yeah, that little thing that
the thing they do with the sand,
yeah,
and then wash away.
Yeah.
And I've got two completely different beliefs of what it's called and why it's called that. And one of them is because people can't remember what the thing was that they saw because it at some point it changed and they don't remember if it was that way the whole time or if it was changed before. And I've never been able to find it anywhere being called the mandala effect, but I totally remember it being that and that being the explanation. Yeah. Like, oh, the memory, it was changed at some point in their lives, and so they've remembered it being that way the whole time, even though it was obviously changed at some point.
Right.
And that doesn't explain away the Berenstain Stain thing, because you don't change the name, the spelling of somebody's fucking name.
Right.
But, yeah.
Don't you think, though, like they use Fruit Loops themselves for, as you can, sorry, I'm really stuck on this now.
Yeah, but Fruit Loops, guys.
they use actual Fruit Loops as the two O's in fruit and in loops.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Don't you think you would remember that? God, I feel like I'm a crazy person now.
That's the whole point of it.
Fuck this.
Yeah, no.
Why did we start talking about this? Anyway,
it's a rabbit hole.
You brought up Kazam.
Yeah, the Kazam Shazam. Yeah,
I know I did. It's my fault, but God damn it.
Alex and I were talking about this the other day, and we didn't even bring up the Genie movies. I don't even remember why we were talking about it.
Hmm.
We were walking the dog.
And I still, what's funny is I still don't know whether it's Berenstain or Berenstain, like what the actual,
I think it's E-I-N.
Is it E-I-N?
E-I-N is what I remember.
Or no, I think it's actually A-I.
I honestly think that's one of the reasons why I have such an easy time being like, yeah, they could have changed it and nobody knows.
And then it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where my, like, it depends on what your level of care is for that particular thing, because
how
Berenstain
passionate
Bears
are you
is
about
like,
your children's
I don't
literature.
Give a fuck. But then the Fruit Loops, like you latched onto that, like
that, and that one matters to
passionately.
You.
Yeah,
like,
that one matters
all the way
to you.
Down.
I
to
ate
your
a
balls.
Lot of Fruit Loops as a kid, man.
They're delicious.
Toucan Sam was my homie,
and I'd punch the beak right off.
I had a record
because I want to eat
a record with Toucan with the Toucan Sam song on it.
What?
There was a record.
Obviously, you're not a fan.
Apparently not. Apparently not. I'm a fucking casual at best, apparently.
You know what my favorite record was when I was a kid? It was the Justice League versus Darkseid. It was like a little radio play. And It was awesome. I mean, Darkseid, Kalibak, Desaad, all fighting Batman, The Flash, Wonder Woman, Superman. Like, it was awesome.
I always had a soft spot for Space Ghost Musical Barbecue.
That was good, too. The Toucan Sam workout.
Yeah, there was a had to save up like UPCs and shit and send those in for the thing. And it was like my parents, I have to imagine they reluctantly did it because it seems like a huge pain in the ass.
I wouldn't reluctantly.
And I wouldn't have done it. Like, as a parent now, I'd be like, no,
I want to see this. So
but
bad.
Then if like, if and my parents didn't have a, my parents didn't have a record player, out,
I would push them toward it.
Well, it wasn't even the working out part of it. I think there was other stuff.
You just really wanted to fuck that toucan.
But I just wanted that. Like I wanted that fucking
video that went along with it of somebody in a big. I wanted that Sam record. Outfit.
I wanted that record. We didn't have a way to play that record.
Cardio.
We didn't have to play a way to play it. But my dad was an English teacher, so he worked at the high school or the elementary and the high school combined.
Yeah.
Oh, so he was stealing. And so he box was
able.
For you.
No, he was able to go.
Man, what a piece of shit!
Wait,
those were for education, no. Motherfucker. That's not for you to get the toucan Sam workout.
I don't think UP. I don't think box stops existed then.
No,
those were UPCs.
No, they definitely did not. Yeah.
That was not a thing back then.
Those were UPCs. No, but he had to bring me to the school.
Mandela.
To listen to my record. To listen to my record. Did you just call that the Mandela effect?
Yeah. Box tops.
Between the box tops and UPCs?
And UPCs, yeah. Yep. When did one become the
other? Dude, I remember when we had to do stuff like that for the cereals. I remember getting a Power Ranger watch.
Yeah, you had to save shit up.
Yeah. And it was like $3 for shipping, and I had to literally beg my parents for those $3
boxes of peanut butter crunch. Yeah. As a box,
and
then you have to figure out a way to come up with the $3 shipping.
I can so
you already
as a
spent
parent.
$300 on the cereal.
Like my kids coming up to present anything to me that Shop costs money is I'm
bodega.
Negative about it.
Like, fucking, I just need 6 more cups. You sons of whores.
I'm with you, Ward, though. Like, I mean, my parents were.
Unless it's
for Grey's
Anatomy, then I'm.
Unless it's for Grey's Anatomy.
Just pay yourself interest, buddy.
Man.
That was a good lesson, though. I wrote
agree.
That one down.
That's
I wrote that one down.
Investing in his own future.
Yeah. That teaches a valuable
What a
lesson.
Terrible future, though.
Grey's Anatomy.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Or he'll grow up.
I'll be the next McSteamy.
I'm not a doctor, but I fuck somebody who plays one on TV. So.
All right. Well, hey, on that note, we better get out of here.
Yeah.
Boy,
that's the episode title.
We have run this episode out. Bruno, I hope you want to join us again. This has been
great. Look, this is fun. It's fun hanging out with you guys. I can come out and hang out in person one of these days.
Yeah, that would be great. I absolutely adore it. Awesome. And I would love to sit in studio with you one of these times if it's ever possible, for sure.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
All right. So,
good show, gentlemen.
Listen, this is our first episode.
Thank
back.
You again, Bruno, by the way.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I mean, this is
best
this
friend
is fun.
Of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Without a doubt. First episode back of 2021. It's our very first episode of the year. One thing I like for YouTube or for live shows, I'm always like embracing like the whole idea of going to YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, that kind of thing. I think Periscope's going to Twitter. But if you're listening to the audio versions of the show, we cut these up, tighten them up into like little tighter segments. You can listen to full-on episodes of that. That way, and then I'll actually have like a full untouched episode that'll come out.
An uncircumcised version of the show.
Right. We'll do like a few chunks, and then we'll also do like a fully uncut episode of the show, which will be, I think, fun for the listeners that want that piece of it. But
well, and if
all
you,
six of you.
If you have the time, I really know I stump for this a lot, but if you have the time, every other Tuesday at 6 p.m., we're live on YouTube. And I really think that watching along with it, as opposed to listening,
it certainly lends to the
really
experience.
It really does lend to the experience. It's a lot more engaging. There's more than just the voices there. You can
we see leave us. We leave every show feeling like elated. Like I shoot a load on Hud's face. I don't have enough to get wow. To get Ron taken care of.
Wow.
But I mean,
what?
Maybe don't watch the live show.
It doesn't happen.
Holy cow.
No homo. No homo.
Son of a bitch shaves his face wow. And suddenly he's a teenager again.
Yeah, he's brazen.
God dang it.
All right. God. Well, anyway.
Good night, everyone.
Timespentpoorly.com is the website. Check us out there.
When you said come in the studio, you didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Bruno, stay far, far yeah. away, my friend. Oh.
He can't make it to Jersey.
This took a turn. I don't have the money to make it to Jersey. I spend all my money on ellipticals.
Oh, no,
and
I meant
shit.
Your shot.
Oh, ellipticals. Yeah.
You can't shoot that.
Grey's Anatomy DVDs.
Yeah, yeah.
Bootleg Grey's Anatomy DVDs.
Thank you, Bruno. We'll see you guys next time. Timespentpoorly.com. Later.
All right, peeps, didn't I tell you this was the best one? They fucking nailed it as usual. In case you weren't listening at the beginning, make sure you head over to timespentpoorly.com and click things. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, subscribe on YouTube and get notified the next time we're live. Maybe you appreciate what we give you and you want to support us? Great! Head over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly and check out how you can do just that. Thanks again for wasting your time with us this week. Now go make better use of it! Until next time.
Time